All right, guys. First and foremost, thanks for everybody coming out. I know this is fun day for you, maybe not as fun day for coaches and players, but I appreciate everybody coming out. I guess my opening statement is really simple. And we're 5 days into camp already. We've had five practices. I really appreciate the effort that our kids put in this summer. A lot of credit has to go to Rudy Wade and our strength staff. My challenge to our football team when I think we last spoke was at the end of spring practice, when I said the challenge to our team is, can we start where we ended spring practice? And I thought our kids really have done that. They had a really good summer, really good attention to detail, worked at the game of football, perfecting their craft, and really getting themselves into really good shape. You know, it's a little bit of a different camp and a unique camp, and still we're still finding each other out. We've got 41, over a third of our football team is brand new, first time ever going through a fall camp here at Iowa State. And so that's a significant amount of young people that are first time going through fall camp, especially here at Iowa State. So it's been real, five really good practices. Obviously, it still hasn't told us a whole lot yet, but the next week and a half will be really important for our football team. So with that said, I'll certainly open up to you guys. Go ahead, Bobby.
Matt, with somebody like Dalvin Lazard, with the physical skill set he brings at wide receiver, how do you best utilize that and put him in the best position to succeed?
Well, I think that's got to be the starting point for us in our offensive game planning and situational football. I mean, Allen's got to touch the ball, and we got to find ways to create matchups. We got to find ways to get the ball into his hand. We've got to find ways to move him around. And I think the one thing I appreciate about Allen is not only is he a physically skilled player, not only is he really good at the craft of the wide receiver game, getting open, catching the ball, but he's a really intelligent football player as well. And that really lends to a guy like that being able to be multiple, to play all the positions and to be able to move around and know what to do in within the scheme.
Will you guys use him at all three of the wide receiver positions?
I think you'll see him at any position other than offensive line. Is that fair?
Yes. All right.
Special teams.
And special teams as well.
Iowa State fans are their expectations are off the chart right now for Iowa State football. As you know, you came from Iowa State. What's a realistic ending point for this regular season?
Yeah, I think that's such a great point. And again, fan base and fans, they should be excited, and I hope they're excited. Our job is to continue the momentum of excitement. But I think it's really hard for us as a coaching staff to honestly sit here today and say, here's where this team is. This is what we're capable of doing, because I don't know if we even know yet. You know, we've just been through 8 months of starting to build the culture. And what I told our kids on our first night meeting here is my expectations are really simple for this team. Can we get better every day? Can this team and our players reach their full potential? And obviously what that is and what that looks like, I don't know if I know that and can put a number on that yet. But my challenge is, can we reach our full potential? And that's individually and then collectively as a football team. And if we can do that, then we're making really good progress. We're making really good headway. And I think there's areas that we can define that by. We've talked about some of those things, turnover margin and some areas that take no talent to control that we can get better. And I do think at the end, those things reflect winning and losing football games. And obviously, am I competitive? You're darn right. Do I feel like we got a chance to go win every football game? Yes. Okay. And are we going to game plan to do that? Absolutely. But I also know that unless there's a process and unless there's a starting point and we have to reestablish the expectations within our own walls, we can't get to an end point. That's our starting point for us right now.
Matt, where does the offensive line rank among your biggest concerns heading into the season?
Well, obviously it is a big concern, because there's guys that haven't been in a situation where they're actually videotape evidence. And I'm such a firm believer in videotape evidence. Show me in a game, in a situation, that you can execute and play with great consistency. And I still think that's an area where there's just so much unknown. And obviously Jake is the one player that has got videotape evidence of him playing successfully on the field and having success. So it's great to have one guy that there's videotape evidence. But I think all those other guys, there's still some unknown. We don't really know. We can practice. We can do some really great things. We can put them in situations to execute. And I will say this about this group. This group has gotten stronger. They've gotten bigger. We've added some pieces that I think have helped this group be better football players. But till we go out, till we play, till the lights come on, and they're in situations where they have to perform and perform with great consistency, that's going to continue to be a concern of mine until we prove we can do that with a consistent effort.
What do you have to see from those guys to feel totally confident in their abilities?
Well, I think consistency is built in practice. And, I have a motto, consistently good leads to consistently great. And it's the ability to come to practice every day, and especially at that position. You just don't turn it on the offensive line. You have to – I have always said this about offensive line play. Nobody grew up saying, I want to play offensive line. We grew up catching the ball, throwing the ball, running the ball, tackling the ball. But nobody's grown up ever with the skill set that's born to say, I'm going to play offensive line. You have to work, and you got to perfect your craft at that position. And I think that's really that. Those traits and those skill sets are born in the off season. They're born in the weight room. Those tools are sharpened throughout the year. And again, I think it's how they approach practice, how they come with detail, how it looks like during fall camp, and all those things. And this group has gotten better. They've made great strides from when I left them in spring practice to where we've gotten them. And obviously, the addition of getting Jake back has helped that group. The addition of a guy like Brian Bobek, who I said earlier this week, there's videotape evidence of Brian playing in Division I Power 5 football games and having great success doing it. And it's been nice to get some of that veteranness with some young guys to show them and lead them the way. Nick Fett has played football here. There's videotape evidence of him playing successfully here a year ago. Patrick Scoggins, there's videotape evidence of him playing successfully even though it's junior college football. So there's some of that. J.P. Filbert's had some time where he's got to play. But collectively, unified, five guys playing as one, that takes time and that takes consistency and that takes effort, and that's built through practice.
What do you need to see what do you want to see from Mike Warren to take that next step from his freshman year? And are there ways that you can get him more involved? It looks like even that first practice, you're already getting involved in the passing game quite a bit more.
Yeah, again, Michael's a guy that, as I've said, goes from the guy that maybe nobody knew about or was devising a game plan to stop to all of a sudden being the focal point of every defensive coordinator that we're going to play against. And, the motto of every great defensive coordinator is, how do I stop the running game? So Michael's got to be able to adapt to that and understand how are people trying to take him away. And then we've got to do a great job of what are options A, B, and C down the road. They want to take him away here. How do we still get the ball in his hands and maybe put him in some different areas to create mismatches for us? And Michael's a guy that has some of those skill sets. He can catch the ball in the backfield. He's a guy that can go out and split out at times and run routes and be a mismatch at times against people. But my biggest thing with Michael Warren is consistency. And great players, elite players, are elite players every day. It's just not coming in on Saturday. And Michael has to show that. And I think that's just the nature of a young player growing up and becoming that guy. And I'll tell you this, five practices, Michael looks bigger. He looks stronger. He had a really good summer, what we've asked him to do. He did. And now it's a matter of maturing a little bit in practice habits and just continuing to understand the whole game around him other than just being a really good running back.
This kind of falls along in that line of discussion. You've got two offensive superstars on this team. We just talked about one and Allen. How do you get them both? How do you make both of them 1,000-yard performers? Michael, 1,000-yard rusher, and Allen, 1,000-yard receiver. Can you do that?
Well, I think you definitely can do that. That's been proven, and I think even in our past we've been able to prove those things. But again, the key is they have to be multiple in their skill sets, and the players around them have to be able to raise their level too, because we all know this, you know, even if there's two, there's ways to take two guys away. And so guys like Joel and guys like the offensive line and guys like our tight ends and other receivers have to be factors and have to raise their level, so that when they're trying, defenses are trying to take them away, then we have to be able to take what the defense gives us as well, and we have to be able to execute. And that puts a lot of pressure on those guys to raise their level of expectation. And that's what I really like about our football team so far, is those guys that have that ability. And I think there's some names out there of guys that maybe have some elite ability, maybe just haven't got a chance to either show it or execute it yet, have really raised their level of expectations through the summer. But we're going to need them to do that and do it with great consistency, so when people want to take them away, we can make those people pay.
Coach, you've had some turnover at middle linebacker. What's Kane Seeley's maybe ceiling expectation versus kind of what you've been thrust into with Levi leaving and others?
Well, I'll say this about Kane Seeley, is Kane Seeley won the starting linebacker job coming out of spring practice. And I think that was evident amongst our staff, and that's a credit to Kane Seeley on work ethic, toughness, approach to the game of football. You know, linebacker is a lot like the quarterback position, and those guys have to be number one in today's world of football. They got to be great communicators. You got to have the ability to adjust the defense and be able to communicate what's going on both to the D-line and to the secondary. Number two, you got to be tough, and I think we all know this from Kane's years in high school and wrestling, and to what he's done in terms of production here on special teams and defensively, you'd say he's tough. And then number three, you got to have the ability to do it, and again, Kane can certainly do it. So, you know, Kane brings a lot of intangibles to the table in terms of Mike linebacker play. There's some other guys right now that are pushing, which I appreciate. Brian Mills is a guy that's had a really, really good fall for us, has made really good strides in terms of our system, getting bigger, getting stronger, tested out phenomenally in the summer program. So he's making a great push right now at the Mike linebacker spot as well. So I think we feel really good about a young guy, Tymar Sutton, a true freshman, is a guy that's making some great push right now there as well. So we're excited to see his progress. So a really competitive spot for us, and we feel confident in the Mike linebacker spot right now with what we've got and who we've got leading those areas.
Coach, now that camp has started, you've had an opportunity to assess the guys who have been on campus all summer. How would you assess the strength and conditioning program and how that went during the offseason?
Yeah, and again, I as much as how big and strong are we, is what's our discipline? How do we work? What's our work ethic? What's our culture like? We're a total 180 from where we were 8 months ago. And that doesn't happen without elite strength staff and a strength staff that's unified with the vision of our football program. And that's one thing that I really appreciate about Rudy, his staff that he's been able to put together, is we're all on the same page. When you go to the weight room right now and you step between those walls, you better be ready to go. Whether it's 50 minutes, whether it's an hour, whether it's an hour and 10 minutes, the expectation every step of the way is the same expectation when you step in between those white lines. And Rudy's done a great job kind of laying that foundation to who we are in terms of, and you've heard me talk about this a million times, attitude and effort and commitment to being the best you can be. And we wouldn't be where we're at without his team downstairs and what they've done. You know, getting bigger and stronger, our big core belief was those three areas, three base areas, bench press, squat, clean, functional, getting strength numbers up. I think we made really good strides there. It's great to put attention to detail in terms of strength and power, continuing to get better. Are we where we want to be there yet? We're not, and that's developed over time. But I think we've been able to make some really good strides. I think you see guys like Allen, and you see some of these guys, they look different now, even than what they looked. Some of these offensive linemen, Nick Fett and Patrick Scoggins, and these guys have really done a great job in the weight room. The credit goes to Rudy, but it also goes to our kids and them really trusting in that we're trying to get them better.
And you talk about building culture here. Pretty hard to measure. How do you try to keep a handle on how your program is being built from an off-the-field perspective?
Well, I think it's that evaluation for me is day to day, and it's how we come to work every day. It's what's our practices look like. It's when things don't go well, because that's coming. You know, our first five, everybody's excited to practice the first 5 days of fall camp, but what's it going to look like here in two days or 3 days as the grind of camp gets set in? You know, I just got done meeting with our leadership council this morning, and I said, what's defining is we're really good when everything goes well, but here's what's going to happen. I'm going to create chaos in the next 3 days, and things aren't going to go well. And I want to see, how do we respond to adversity? Who's going to lead us out when things aren't going well? If it's myself, Coach Haycock, Coach Manning, you know, I don't know if we're we need to be yet, if the coaches are leading the way. But when we get some player ownership and player buy-in value, that's when you start to develop a program. That's when there's true culture, when the players are leading the program, not just the coaches. And so, you know, I think we continue to do a great job as coaches educating and developing leadership within our walls. You know, and that part of things is a day-in, day-out process of evaluation. What are we doing well? What aren't we doing well? How can we better, from myself to our coaches to our players? And that's something that I think we do a really good job in terms of, it's not a dictatorship. We do a great job of talking about that day in and day out amongst our staff and really amongst the leadership of our football program. And I want our players involved in that process, because again, it's all of us going in the same direction for this program to have great success going forward.
Do we have an update on Nigel?
Yeah, Nigel right now is still the same status that we went into camp, indefinitely suspended, you know, continuing to educate and make a decision on what we'll do with Nigel going forward. But that's our situation.
How can pieces like the M position, F position, and tight end add a wrinkle to this offense, especially in Big 12? And where have you drawn from that since you've been a graduate assistant and moved up offensively?
Yeah, you know, and to me, the M position starting point was when I was a graduate assistant at Bowling Green. Maybe the best slot receiver I've ever seen is a kid named Cole Magner, who was out of Alaska and one of the best players I've ever been around. Defined the slot position. And then all of a sudden I took this empty spread offense and thought I knew all the answers to my coaching career, and then went back to Mount Union and Coach Karras and the I formation, the West Coast offense, and said, whoa, we're not going to be an empty the whole time and play spread out. You got to have tight ends and fullbacks. And, you know, that's kind of where that culture developed of having a little bit of everything. And so to me, what you'll always see from us is we've got it all. We can be empty, we can be spread out, we can line up, and we can play power football. It's great offenses have the ability to have it all and then take what the defense gives you. What gives you the best chance week in and week out to be successful? And, you know, what I love about having all those different positions is it gives kids roles within our program. And, you know, the more kids that have a role, the more kids that are playing within your program, whether it's two snaps on special team, whether it's F or M or whatever that is, the more kids are invested in what they're doing. The more kids that have a chance to help you win football games, you see their investment level go up. And I think that's one reason why you've always seen us have a lot of packages, have the ability to have a lot of guys have different roles within our program. And because I love kids to be invested in what's going on. And even if it's two or three plays, if they feel like they're making a contribution or a difference, then I think it really helps the overall, you know, trust and value of a program.
What's Joel Eading showing you this fall and him kind of settling into that role? I know at the end of spring you talked about wanting him to maybe shoulder a little bit more of that leadership and take ownership of that. How have you kind of seen him develop and, you know, as they say, kind of settle in?
Well, I think what's defining about Joel, and Joel is never a guy that is going to be the rah-rah leader. That's not Joel Lanning. And if you've ever watched Joel probably in high school, I can't imagine he was ever the guy that's giving the big rah-rah speech. But who Joel Lanning is the same guy that I watched all summer. Every rep he took in terms of summer conditioning, he wins. Okay, when it's really hard, Joel's out front. when it's really, really tough and everybody wants to bag it, Joel's the guy that's got the ability to wrap his arms around one of his teammates and push him through. And so Joel has shown great consistency, and it's really hard to lead from the back. You have to be your leadership, and when you speak and it is time to speak, your leadership has to come because your ability to do everything right and be consistent about who you are as a person first and foremost. That's what Joel provides our football team, and that's what Joel makes Joel special in my mind. Is, yes, is he prototypical this or this? Maybe he isn't, maybe he isn't. But you know what Joel is? He's the same guy every day, and he works really, really hard, and he's one of the strongest kids on our team, and he's the first guy in and the last guy to leave. And all those intangibles that you want great players to embody, Joel has those, and I think that's what's made him really successful, both in his high school career and certainly since his time he's been here at Iowa State.
How much of a competition is there really at backup quarterback? I know you've got Park, who could play right away, and then Zeb. I'm kind of wondering if you'd want to risk burning that red shirt right away. Is there still a competition going on there?
I think it's a huge competition, and I'll be honest with you. We wouldn't have brought Zeb in so early in his high school career if I didn't want him to come here and compete to play. And I also said this day one, I don't care if you're a freshman or a senior, the best player is going to play. And to me, that's honest. 18 to 22-year-old kids, if you're not playing the best player as a coach, and that's an issue. And so they want to know, number one, am I the best? And if I'm not the best, then it's my job and our coaching staff's job to tell them what they're not doing well or what they need to do to become the best to get themselves on the field. And so there's no difference at quarterback, even though, yes, in the perfect world, as you look at it and you say, I'd love to redshirt Zeb Nolan. Zeb's a competitor. And as you get to know Zeb, might be one of the best competitors I've ever been around in terms of going out and competing day in and day out. And Zeb's had a really good start to camp. He has, knowing this and being through this process before at the quarterback position, those 15 spring practices that you have, those are like, it's like the beginning phase of football. You know, you're just learning and trying to feel yourself out, and then all of a sudden, he's like a new person come this fall camp, and he's really had a good start to camp. Jacob was great to have Jacob here all summer. Jacob was ill for the first couple of days of practice, so he's just kind of getting out there. It was his second day of practice yesterday, but it's going to be really fun to watch that competition, especially as we get into this week, which will be really huge to some situational football, some scrimmaging, and watch these guys kind of perform under pressure.
What are you looking for in that backup quarterback role?
Well, I think it's the same thing as I look for in our starting quarterback. And number one is the ability to lead those around them. Number two, the ability to understand what we're trying to get accomplished offensively. And then number three is accurately throw the football. And those three things are, I think, critical to any quarterback's success, and not just the backup quarterback. To me, I've been around this too long as well in terms of the quarterback position. It's really hard for one quarterback to play all season long. And if we were able to do that, great. Okay, but the honest opinion is that guy's got to be equally as good as what your starting quarterback is and have those same intangibles that what your starter has. And I will say, I think we all feel really confident and really good about what our quarterback position looks like right now. It's a really good position. I feel like all three guys have the ability level to be starting quarterbacks on this football team and within this conference.
Backtracking a smidge, a couple questions back, you mentioned that, I believe you said Jacob's been ill. Damon's been ill, Jacob's been ill, Willie Harvey's ill. Is there flu going through the team?
Yes, so I can handle a lot of things, but I don't have the ability to handle illnesses. So, yeah, we've had a little bit of that early on in fall camp, and just it's kind of, again, it's adversity. We've got to fight through it. We've got to go through it. We handle it, and then and we get those guys back. So.
Here's what I was going to ask. Is the competition to place kickers Cole the guy?
Yeah, I would say this again, Cole, I thought, had a really good spring. Chris Francis had a really good spring. Got a young man that we think is really talented coming in here, and Eric Sylvester, who's a true freshman out in New York, who's got a phenomenal leg and has already shown that early on. And again, I think it's too early for me to sit here and say, hey, Cole Netton's our starting kicker. Now, can I sit here and say Cole Netton's had really good success and he's got great ability, and it's the same thing that I told Cole? Is it Cole's position to lose? I would definitely say that as well, too. And I've got really good faith that Cole's got great ability. But again, at that spot, it's all about confidence and it's all about consistency. And, you know, I think Cole's got to show that throughout fall camp, just like he did through spring practice, so he can lock that role in. And I think that's across the board. That's not just Cole Netton. That's every position that we have right now, because all of us coaches, all we know is what we've seen the last 7 months. And I promise that to our entire football team, that we weren't going to judge anything that went before this. We want to see what's going on here and now. And we're smart enough to know what's a videotape look like from years past and videotape evidence, but also what's gone on here in the last 7 months. So Chris Francis deserves the right to be able to. You know, he had a great spring game, had a great spring. Eric is a young freshman that's coming in, competing right now. So I definitely say Cole's competing, but he's the lead dog in the house in terms of a guy that's had videotape evidence of having great success.
Coach, you've got Alan Lazard listed number one on return. I'm just curious, with a broad brush, what your philosophy is with playing your studs on special teams.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in playing our best players on special teams, but I also am smart enough to know, too, how much are we going to play those guys, and where do we play those guys? Where's their greatest value come in return of our football team? And again, when you say you want to create roles for guys within your program, I love to have roles of guys that are elite special teams players and they do great things. But I'm also knowing, in terms like punt, our best players are going to play on our punt team. No, most important play in football, our best players got to be in there for that play. Our kickoff team is really important to me. Our kickoff team, our best players are going to go in and be a part of that kickoff team. Field position, the opportunity to change those things, that's really important. And obviously, we saw Allen have great success last year returning punts. We saw Trevor Ryan have great success returning punts. We've got some really good options. I think DeAndre Payne is a guy that's going to be a great returner for us in some areas. So we've got some options, but will you see our really good players playing on special teams? Absolutely. Will you see them playing on all four special teams? Probably not. So we got to do a smart job of making sure when we play them, where we play them, how we play them. But do I like our best players having the ability to play on special teams? I do.
You know, running back can be such a position of attrition. What do you have behind Michael Warren right now?
Well,
as far as ability, I see the depth chart, but as far as abilities, what are the strengths of those guys?
I'm going to say this. The one thing that I leave 5 days of practice with already is we're really good at running back. And we're really lucky that we recruited really well this year, because those two young freshmen are as talented as any two young freshman kids that we maybe have had the ability to recruit. I'm really excited about what they've shown and flashed in 5 days of practice. They both have elite skill. Now, that doesn't mean they're elite players yet, but they have elite skill. So they've really cushioned what our expectation and maybe allowed us to sleep a little bit at night is what they perform like in terms of early and fall camp and what their ability level is. And then you talk a little bit about the two guys coming back as well. Mitchell Harger is the starting point. Mitchell's coming off surgery. So we've been really smart with Mitchell in terms of he's been full go. He has practice. But how much do we force feed him, which has been really good for these young guys to get quality reps. But I think we all know what Mitchell can do for us. And he's a guy that's a great pass protector. He's got great hands out of the backfield. He's a really good runner in terms of between the tackle box. Sheldon Crony has been a really good story for us early on in camp. He's gotten better every day. I think we almost have to treat Sheldon like a true freshman, because he didn't do anything for 9 months, and then all of a sudden has kind of come back. So you've seen him kind of kick the rust off a little bit. He looks a lot better, lost almost 12 pounds in the offseason, got his body fat down from maybe 18% to 9%. He changed who he is and what he looks like. And again, I think if you guys watch Sheldon's high school film, he had great ability. So I think we feel a lot better about that position today than maybe what I felt like leaving spring practice. And I think what you'll see is a collective effort at that running back position. And I think you got some game changers in these two young guys that have stepped on the campus and really been impressive in the first 5 days of fall camp.
Coach,
I know it's only been 5 days in camp, but what's your views on Kamari Kapimoya? Do you see him being the sole leader for the defense?
First of all, let's Kamari. You know, Kamari I've been impressed with from the day that I stepped on campus here. I don't need to see fall camp to be impressed with Kamari Kapimoya in terms of ability level, in terms of what he brings to our defense. Again, game planning against him, playing against him, and seeing him on the other sideline, my respect factor was as high as you could be for an opponent and for a player. You know, Kamari, what he's done, again, is he's had the ability to take some of those leadership reins, a lot like what I talked about, Joel, in terms of what does summer look like, what does effort in the weight room and conditioning have looked like. And I think Kamari is healthy, number one. And number two, knowing Kamari, he's done a great job in terms of developing his leadership skill. Is he the sole leader on defense? I don't think that's fair to say, but is he one of our great leaders on defense? My expectation is that he will be and continues to be.
What was kind of the process of finding and evaluating some of the transfers you guys added? And what can guys like McEnroe, Alexander, Marjorie Murdoch, Everett Edwards, what can they add to the team this year?
Well, you know, I say this is my job as the head coach and our recruiting department is like a GM in football, really. And the NFL has so many guys that are allowed to come in camp, and obviously they cut their roster down to what they do. In college football, we're only allowed to bring 105 guys into fall camp. And my job is to scour the earth and do as good a job as I can find the best 105 that can represent what our expectations of our football team look like. And it was a little different this year. Do I think we'll have some of these late things that have occurred? Maybe, maybe not going forward. But I thought it was really important for us to get our roster to where we can give ourselves the best depth that we possibly can. And I think that's what you see. Really good football teams have great depth. Injuries are going to happen in college football. But when those injuries occur, it can't be an implosion of success amongst your football team. And that's what we have to continue to do. And are we there yet? We're not. Do we still have to work really hard at that? We do. And I think that's why I attack recruiting and I attack trying to go out and find the best players to come be a part of our team like we do, because I know that's the lifeblood of our success. And, you know, our job's then not only get them here, but we got to do a great job developing. But I've said this in a lot of ways. I really, really have great faith that not only are we really good recruiters, but we do a great job developing our student athletes within our program, and that's a tribute to our coaching staff and the work they put into it. But yeah, we've done a lot of moving and shaking in a short amount of time, especially through the summer, to try to make sure. And some of those guys are guys that we were on. Some of those guys are guys that we had to go find, and just try to do everything in our power to bring the best 105 roster that we've had. And you know, some of those guys are walk-ons. You know, there's five or six scholarship players that didn't make it to fall camp, and that's all right. That tells you there's good competition within our program, and you know, tells us where we need to be within our program too going forward. When we sign scholarship players to come here, we want those guys to be in fall camp for us.
How do you evaluate where your defensive line is at right now?
Yeah, I'll say this. I think our defensive line is still up in the air in terms of it's an area that we need to continue to get better. I think there's guys that have great significant opportunities to help us, but it's a really neat mix in my mind right now. There's some elite young talent, guys that have been incredible in 5 days of practice, and there's some guys that are veterans who have shown that they play at a very elite level, and then there's some veterans that maybe their consistency of what their play has been has just been average. And that group has got to play to its full potential for us to be successful, especially in this conference and especially against who we play. So it's been a really interesting camp so far. There's maybe more competition at that position than anywhere right now amongst our program, and we need to continue to get better for us to have great success, because you can't hide a bad defensive line. That defensive line is critical to what our success will be come this fall.
With the player, you mentioned a few players, I don't think 105. What can other players do during camp, and when can you guys go to full
roster?
Yeah, so we'll gain full roster, and this is not just here, it's everywhere. It's the first day of school. And, you know, what we've done in terms of those guys that maybe didn't come into fall camp but were here with us through the summer is, you know, give them a plan to go. And some of those guys were due to injury, but some of those guys were situations where it just, you know, their actions and their consistency didn't prove that they should be in fall camp. And some of those guys are just a numbers game too. And so, you know, what we hope is those guys come back once the school starts, that prepared and ready to go to rejoin our football team. But the first day of classes is when all those young men can rejoin our team.
When do you want the, for example, the center competition decided?
Yeah, that, I'd love it to decide itself as soon as possible, but I will say this. I think this is it is a really, really heated battle, and it's a really good battle, and it's a good problem for us because the one thing that it has shown is both players are really good. And really three in terms of, you know, Bryce Meeker having really improved, and we've got him there. Now, one of the great things for us is that Bryce Meeker's position flexibility is he can play both guard spots and play center. Julian Goodjones' position flexibility is he can play both tackle spots and he can play center. And I think Brian probably could play guard if we had to. But, you know, the reality of it is it's a good problem for us to have. I think it's a situation for us that I feel really confident, again, in that position, way more confident than I did going, you know, maybe coming out of spring practice to where we are right now. And a lot of credit there goes to the kids and what they've been able to do. And obviously us being able to pick up Brian this summer has been a huge addition. It's kind of been – it's allowed us to give us some flexibility in what we can do and who we are on the offensive line.
Is there some synergy, though, that has to be worked out with Joel and, you know, between center and –
Yeah, I think in the old days, Randy, where you're underneath center and you know, doing those things 80-90% of the time, maybe. I think now it's just get the ball back to Joel and don't mess it up for us, please. So, you know, but no, those I think the synergy to me goes more so with the rest of the line than it does with the quarterback. And obviously Joel's really important in that synergy being successful. But I think those five working together is really, really important. And I hopefully from our standpoint, the sooner we can figure that out and the sooner it declares itself and we can get those guys repping and playing and communicating together, the more success we're going to have early on. But if it doesn't, it's one of those things we got to work through in the first couple games, and that's what we're going to have to do too. But, you know, it'll be a really interesting battle. I will say those young men have really done a great job early on at camp, and I really like where that position's heading. I think it will help us solidify ourselves a little bit to being what we're capable of becoming on our offensive line. The quicker that position resolves itself and playing with great consistency, I think the more success you'll see our offensive line be able to have.
There are things that we can see, just the signage around the complex, social media, your involvement on that. How much does all of that stuff play into changing the culture here?
Well, you know, I don't know how much all that plays other than what changes culture is people. And, you know, I've always said this, change happens in small groups. And it doesn't just happen overnight, and just doesn't happen in terms of slogans or what you say. It changes with people. And setting and resetting the expectations on everything we do, how we handle ourselves, how we approach the day-in, day-out process to becoming successful and reaching our full potential, whether it's academically, whether it's in the weight room, whether it's how we practice, whether it's how we prepare, take care of our bodies, all these things, those things, whether it's right or wrong, change, when that happens, that does happen, and the expectations get raised and reevaluated, and that's what we've done within our program. And, you know, I think that's how cultures change, not by sayings or going on Twitter and saying, you know, whatever. Yes, are those things used for recruiting and some of those things? Absolutely. But does that change a culture within these walls? That doesn't mean anything about winning and losing football games. What means winning and losing football games is the attitude and the effort, the commitment to the process to be great, the unification of the vision amongst our coaching staff, and the trust, you know, between coach to coach, coach to player, player to coach, that's when cultures change. That's when you have success. And to me, I'm smart enough to know that, yeah, all this stuff is great and you can have cool new all this. That doesn't do anything. What does things is change and trust. And that's our biggest starting point for us.
You said on signing day, you never turn away a good defensive back, and you guys have added depth at that position. What have you seen? What do you see from that group? And when you went back and you watched last season, is there an area that that group can improve enough to pass every conference?
Well, yes, number one. I think the area that I was most nervous about coming in is the safety position. And my only reasoning for that is Kamari, you know, his health, obviously, at times a year ago. And then who's the other safety, you know, coming into this? And I want to give us as much position flexibility as we possibly can have. You have to cover guys in this conference. And there's times you want to play man coverage, there's times you want to play zone, but you know, we've got to do a great job of covering people and having the ability to cover people. And the more guys you can have that can cover people on the field, the more success I think you can have in pass coverage on defense. And then we got to find ways, obviously, to help those guys by affecting the quarterback. And that's where that defensive line comes into play. And sometimes, you know, if the defensive line can't get there, then you got to be able to bring pressure with your linebackers and coverage guys at times. So that's where building a great defensive line is important, because the less guys you got to blitz and drop into coverage, the better you are as a football team having success stopping the pass. So to me, we've added a lot of guys that we at least think can help us in terms of coverage. That's really, really important to us. And, you know, we want to continue to see where we're at as this fall camp goes, who plays where, you know, and even the positions to corner, safety. I think the starting point is coverability. And the top five cover guys are going to play for us. And we'll worry about everything else down the road. The one thing that we do have, and I think that I really saw off a film a year ago, was Wiltz's ability to tackle and be physical in space. You know, obviously Nigel's ability, you know, to be able to be physical and to tackle in space. Kamari's ability to physical and tackle in space. And I'm just talking about guys that have played for us. Brian Peavy's ability, I think as the season grew, he got more confident and had the ability to do those things. So we're very fortunate to have guys here that have had the ability to not only play great pass coverage, but be able to tackle people, because obviously offenses are going to try to challenge those guys in space and be able to tackle. And that's the name of the game in football today, especially in the Big 12, is can you tackle people in space? And those guys have to be able to do it. So, you know, the more guys we can get and we can recruit and we can bring to the table that can do those things for us, obviously the more success I think we can have defensively.
All right, Coach, thank you very much.